It is said that there are only two certainties in life, death and taxes. My homily today is not going to be about taxes. Some may wonder why speak about the topic of death in this midsummer Saturday evening when it's hot as can be outside. Surely no one really wants to talk about it. But God's word addresses this topic today, as God's word addresses every aspect of our lives. God's word speaks about this final aspect of our lives and the lives of everyone whom we love. It is, of course, a rather difficult topic. And my apologies to those present this evening who are struggling with that reality of death in life. I hope that my words will bring some comfort to you. In the first reading tonight from the Book of Wisdom, the author tells us that God did not make death, that he doesn't rejoice in the destruction of the living. God made life. That's what the book of Genesis tells us. God created everything. He created man and woman in his image. He created us to have life. And it's a perversion of God's creation that we die. We're made in the image and likeness of God, so we are meant to be imperishable. But yet, the Book of Wisdom tells us that it's through the envy of the devil that death entered the world. It was a punishment for trying to reach out to be like God. We call this original sin. It is because of original sin that death is a reality in our lives and in the lives of everyone whom we love. We might ask the question, what would life have looked like had sin never entered the world? And we can look to the life of the Blessed Virgin Mary to explain this. At the end of her life, the fathers of the church tell us that Mary fell asleep in God. That's the expression that they use to explain the end of her life. That she who had not had original sin did not have to suffer the consequences of sin, which are death. So rather, she fell asleep in the Lord and awoke to the glory of heaven, being body and soul with God forever. She experiences the wholeness of God's creation. That wholeness is what is broken in our lives because of original sin. So in the gospel reading today, we hear about Jairus, the synagogue official, and his daughter. Jairus is looking for healing and wholeness for his daughter. She's sick. He wants her to be well. So he goes to Jesus. He recognizes in Jesus the ability to return to wholeness, fullness of life. So Jesus goes to the young girl, and we're told that she has already died, but he disregards that. The people of the town ridicule him. And he goes in and he performs this miracle. Why? Well, all of the miracles of Jesus point to a deeper reality. Jesus restores this girl to the wholeness of this earthly life as a symbolic action. This miracle is pointing to the miracle of the cross. when Jesus will restore to humanity the wholeness of our lives, when Jesus will heal the rupture, when Jesus will heal our original sin. Jesus will experience death so that we can share in his life. Yes, death is a perversion of what God wanted for us, but he doesn't let it stand. Rather, by going into death himself, he transforms it to be a vehicle of life. Death entered the world through the envy of the devil. It was a punishment. Jesus takes that punishment on himself and totally changes, flips death upside down, and turns it into a vehicle for life. So as Catholic Christians, how do we handle the reality of death? How do we handle this experience of our lives as God's Word is bringing it to the fore this weekend? I think it is with a mix of sadness, but also hope. Both accompany this reality in our lives and in the lives of those whom we love. Perhaps some of you are old enough to remember the way the funeral ritual used to be in church. It's a very somber occasion with the black vestments and the singing of a very mournful sequence after the readings about the day of judgment and the day of wrath. It seemed that that aspect of the end of life was sort of overemphasized. And then in the last, say, 30 or 40 years, the pendulum sort of swung in the other direction. And we have overemphasized this idea of hope, overemphasized the reality of heaven so that sort of everyone goes there. I've listened to so many eulogies over the last 11 years, and I think everyone is in heaven. Please God, let that be the case. But judgment is a real reality. That God is the just judge. And we must, as St. Paul tells us, be judged for the good and the bad that we have done in life. So as Catholic Christians, we recognize the sadness, loss, judgment. But we also have to recognize hope. We have to remember that Jesus Christ died and he rose from the dead so that we can be with him forever. There is both and in this experience of death. We reverently care for the body of the deceased because it was a temple of the Holy Spirit in this life. We have profound hope because Jesus became poor, as St. Paul said in today's second reading, so that we can be rich in his life, his eternal life, because he wants us to have wholeness. He wants us to be body and soul in heaven with him forever. Then we will be whole. God very much desires this for our lives. So we have both. My friends, God did not make death, but he doesn't let it have the last word either. Jesus died for you, for me, to put our lives on a trajectory towards heaven. He goes down into death to our very alienation from God to bring us back to life, to wholeness, to fullness, to eternity. And like Jairus, and like the woman with the hemorrhage, we have to recognize that in Jesus. Like they did, to look to him as the one who brings wholeness and fullness to our lives. To look to Jesus as the one who has power in our lives, the power to to save us.